From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Our focus today is first on Oak Island and then Curie Beach, two beach towns in southeastern North Carolina. In the Brunswick County town of Oak Island, six candidates are running for two open seats on council. Kenny Rogers, whom we will meet today, is challenging Mayor Sin Brochure as she seeks her second term. After this first segment, we'll meet two people seeking a seat on the town council of Curie Beach, located in New Hanover County, John Ellen and Jerry Dockery. Each candidate talks one-on-one with me today, answering my questions and yours. The way for you to get your question in during the live Thursday edition is by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. You can also call us today at 910-343-1138. And remember, each candidate appears in only one segment. Today's candidates join us in an order randomly chosen before the show. The town of Oak Island, which is part of Brunswick County, is governed by a council of five and a mayor. As of 2016, population estimates landed at about 7,700 people. According to the U.S. Census, the town has grown by 13.5% since 2010. Median household income is around $51,000. Joining us now is Kenny Rogers, who is challenging Mayor Sin Brochure for her seat in Oak Island. He grew up in Mullins, South Carolina, a small town about an hour inland from Myrtle Beach, married with two children and three grandchildren. He says he and his wife have owned their Oak Island home for 33 years. He's worked in a textile mill, as a product developer in a chemical lab, and as a consultant for what he calls several large corporations, including J.P. Stevens, United Merchant, and Allied Chemical, among others. Kenny Rogers, welcome to Coastline.
Oh, thank you.
You can ask your own question of the candidate for Oak Island mayor by calling us today at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. Kenny Rogers, why a run at mayor now? What specific area do you think you'll be more effective at than the current mayor, Sin Brochure, who is running for re-election?
To start with, I have a far broader range of experience. And I know the coast. I've studied it for many years. I know the coastline. I've studied the coast from Virginia Beach down to Devereux Colony, and I know how the ocean works. I know how the wind, the waves, and the ocean currents affect our beach. And in the past, they keep going against all of nature, and consequently, it makes huge bills and actually increases our erosion rather than helps it.
What do you mean by that? Are you talking about just shoreline protection in terms of beach nourishment?
Yeah.
So what would your proposal be if you did not need to build consensus and you could just say, I, Kenny Rogers, am going to deal with the Oak Island shoreline? What would we do?
The first thing on Oak Island is I would stop dredging Lockwood Folly Inlet. The cost from dredging that inlet is just prohibitive. For instance, in 15 years, they lost 27 houses next to Lockwood Folly Inlet on Holden Beach. Seven of the houses were on the second row. Now, we're talking about a loss there of probably maybe $15 million. Now, last year, in 2016, they dredged the inlet. They had to dredge it again this past summer in 2017 for a cost of $420,000. 2 months later, the inlet has filled back with sand again, and so now they're talking about dredging it again.
So you're saying that's fighting a losing battle.
That's absolutely right, because when you dredge that inlet, the water rushes in, and the coastline erodes tremendously. Leave the inlet alone. Now, they want to say, well, we got to look after the fishermen and the shrimpers and that kind of stuff. Well, how much do you want to pay per trip through there? If you figure the cost of $15 million for houses lost, $15 million Holden Beach just spent renourishing that beach, $40 million they're looking at renourishing the beach at Oak Island, you're talking about a tremendous amount of money. So how much per boat trip is that? $5,000, $10,000, $15,000? You're talking about a huge amount of money that Oak Island, with their retired population, cannot afford this hit.
Now, do you think that retreat should be a part of the plan for Oak Island when it comes to dealing with some of these natural forces that you're saying it's kind of a waste of effort to fight?
Well, I was on the coast from the 60s, to 70s, 80s, at like North Myrtle Beach. We had beach. We had a lot of beach. But at that time, they were not doing the dredging. They were not building the jetties and this kind of thing. And so, like at North Myrtle Beach at Cherry Grove, we had about 75 yards of sand and sea oats. After they got through monkeying with it, it's all gone, and big boulders are trying to hold it in. For instance, at Little River, they built jetties in 84 over a mile long to keep the inlet open. And when they did that, and the east-west currents, which about 70% of the time, it comes against the jetties, or when you dredge what I call sand groins under the ocean, it collects the sand, and what it doesn't collect, it takes and steers it out into the ocean, and it doesn't come on down the beach.
You're talking about terminal groins.
Yep. And all of them, and if you can show your pictures, on the east side it'll build, and on the west side it's deprived.
Now, so we've stopped dredging Lockwood Folly, let's say. You're,
yep,
you're king of Oak Island right now, and we don't have to build consensus or convince anybody,
yep,
else of the plan. What else do we do to preserve the beach?
We've got to put out a certain amount of sand so we have a base to work with. Now, when I talk about the wind, I have a house at 69th and 69th Street on the ocean front. In front of my house, I have the best lot on Oak Island. I have this because I scouted the beach because I knew the coast. And in front of my house is a 12 to 14 foot high sand dune built entirely by the wind. You got to use Mother Nature. You don't tell Mother Nature what to do. You got to learn to ride with her.
So you've got a lot that's in a particularly good spot, but what about people who don't? How do you handle their properties if you're responsible for the town?
Well, when I went down to the West End, I bought my house. It's been 33 years ago exactly. And I went to the West End, and the real estate agent took me to a house, and the waves were lapping up under the house. So I started studying the beach, and I kept putting it together. And you realize that every time they dredge, you could take pictures before and after. And like we're talking about the loss of 27 houses, when they dredge that beach, when they dredge that inlet, you would see a huge amount of erosion. Leave it alone. And then you go to the other side, Holden Beach, you have the same problem. Then you go a mile or two down the way, and then it's not near as bad.
Oak Island recently paid for a study by consultant Peter Ravella to find alternative ways of funding beach nourishment and to address this kind of long-term overarching idea of shoreline preservation. And that includes embarking on a multi-decadal project to create an engineered beach. How much it'll cost to actually get the status of engineered beach remains something of an unknown, according to the Star News, but likely it's in the ballpark of $40 to $50 million. Is that the proper way forward?
Nope. Absolutely not. Because you're just creating the same problem over and over again. The ideas I have about using the wind, the waves, and the currents, I think we can make it stable where we can have a continued beach where we don't have the erosion anymore. And starting with not dredging the Lockwood Folly Inlet, because that is proven, it's documented. I show you pictures before. In fact, Corps of Engineers made the pictures before and after at Holden Beach, and it shows exactly what has taken place. And they also have pictures up at Virginia Beach, at Fort Macon, all showing the same thing. I only think about it, we're not using what we know.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Our focus right now is on Oak Island. We're talking with Kenny Rogers. He's challenging the mayor, Sin Brochoir, for her seat this year. To ask your own question during the live Thursday edition, you can call us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Oak Island, like many coastal communities in the Cape Fear region, faces a serious opioid abuse problem. In fact, Governor Roy Cooper was in town last night and is in town today for that very reason. There's a new law going into effect that ups the reporting requirements for doctors and limits the length of prescriptions. Is there anything specifically that the town of Oak Island should be doing to address that problem?
Oh, that's a good one. Because, as you know, the drug problem extends everywhere, and it's a violent industry. I mean, it is an industry because it's a multi-billion dollar a year thing, and if you get involved in it, you either go down or somebody, you know, takes you down. It's that a real tough one for the police, I tell you, because if they don't get tips and whatever else, they don't really know where to go. And the people using this stuff, they're not going to tell until it's too late. And maybe the answer is to go back on there like this drug is stop the manufacture of it.
The sewer system in Oak Island has been something of a boondoggle for the town for years.
Tell me about it.
How do you think that needs to go moving forward? Is it on the right track now? And what would you do if you were elected mayor?
Well, the mayor last week came out and said in 2020 we'd be debt free. But she failed to mention the sewer system, which still owes $92 million. And I talked to a man yesterday and I said, now, $92 million is a lot of money for most folks. And there's 7,000 people, so you divide 7,000 into 92 million and see what you come up with. I got his vote.
Well, you're talking about 7,000 people. The U.S. Census Bureau puts the population estimates at around 7,700 now, growth of 13.5%, which is a pretty impressive growth rate over the last 6 or 7 years. How does Oak Island need to plan for this kind of growth?
They need to do a better job planning. They have a plan, they just don't follow it.
Can you give us an example of not following the plan?
Well, if you go down the end of 69th Street where I live, you have sand dunes, but these sand dunes were built by the state. These sand dunes are vested to the state since the state built them. Well, Oak Island comes in and all their wisdom, and they build houses right on top of the sand dunes. And right beside those sand dunes are two big signs that says, stay off the sand dunes. And yet they put houses on them. So the planning is just not there. In other words, I'm a great believer in we have to have houses, but at the same time, we don't build wetlands and we don't destroy the environment we have. And as mayor, that will stop.
Oak Island purchases water from Brunswick County, which gets its water from the Cape Fear River. Gen X, of course, is now, as we know, a small portion of the potentially toxic chemical compounds that are in the river that cannot be removed with traditional water treatment. What is your answer for Oak Island to have a safe and reliable drinking water supply?
Well, most of these chemicals, your heavy metals, herbicides, pesticides, birth control pills, whatnot, cannot be taken out in the water purification process. So we get all of them. So like with the Gen X, they should have gone to the company and you say, you stop now, not tomorrow, you stop now. Then you fine them, then you put them in prison. Now, if you and I go out and do something like this, it's going to happen to us.
So you're saying we don't need to think about switching the source of our water supply or changing the way we treat our water. We need to focus on the perpetrators.
Well, clean water is in short supply on this planet now, and we keep abusing what we have. So you're going to have to clean it, clean up the water. As you know, Cape Fear River is one of the most polluted rivers in the country. And they have let these companies have free reign for profits. And our environmental agencies, our politicians, have, rather than doing their job, have protected these polluters.
Where do you stand, just for the record, on offshore oil and gas?
Never.
Okay. Now, certainly, if you were elected mayor, you would not have any policymaking authority when it comes to that. So how would you use your position to influence that issue?
You show the factors of how poorly it has been managed. Let me give you a good example. There was a doctor, David Lewis, in 1988, was doing studies on deep water wells in the Gulf, the drilling. And what he was doing was what would happen if a well ruptured, because it would come around and catch the Gulf Stream and come into the Atlantic Ocean. Well, when the oil people found out about his studies, they went to President Clinton, and Clinton stopped the studies. Okay?
And that's our time. I'm so sorry. Can you just wrap up the thought quickly? Stop the studies?
In 2003, Bush and Cheney fired him. So anybody that wanted to do the job were cut out of it.
And Kenny Rogers, that's our time. Thank you so much for being with us today.
All right.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. When we come back, we'll turn our focus to Curie Beach. Ask your own question on this Thursday by calling 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Our focus now moves to Curie Beach, the smallest of the beach towns within New Hanover County, sandwiched between Fort Fisher and Carolina Beach on Pleasure Island. Joining me now is Jerry Dockery, running for one of the two open seats on the Town Council of Curie Beach. He says his family has spent summers in Curie Beach since 1949. He worked as a professor of sociology at the University of South Carolina until 1998, when he took full retirement from the university. Jerry Dockery, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you.
And you can ask your own question of our candidate for Curie Beach Town Council by calling us on this Thursday, 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Jerry Dockery, one of your big issues is changing the dog policy for Curie Beach. Why is this so important to you, and why do you think it's such a critical issue for the town?
It's confusing to our visitors. There's a big sign when you come on our island that's put up by Carolina Beach telling you what the hours are for dogs on the beach. They don't know where our line ends and Carolina Beach line begins. It's cause for confusion. And I'm also a dog owner and a dog lover. My dogs love to be on the beach, and they are this time of year, but it'd be nice to be able to take them on the beach when there are no humans, which is what Carolina Beach did, and they don't bother anyone.
We've heard about conflicts between regulations in Carolina Beach and Curie Beach, and golf carts and street-safe golf carts are one of those issues. So you're saying you would adjust the dog policy to the Carolina Beach standards because you're a dog lover. What about the golf carts? Does Carolina Beach need to adjust to Curie Beach for the same reason? Because tourists don't know where that line is? Or should it go the other way?
No, they should adjust it, not because tourists don't know, but because Curie Beach has a policy that makes sense. Carolina Beach's policy is just not in line with safety and the public interest. It's just not. They're getting it right. They saw the problem and they're fixing it. So probably in another month or so, Carolina Beach and Curie Beach will have the same regulations on golf carts.
The top issue for beach communities, hands down, of course, is beach nourishment, shoreline stabilization, and how to fund that. You've said that federal funding has to come before state funding. How, as a member of Curie Beach's town council, would you ensure that happens?
There's no way. All the people who say they've got an inside on the feds, as soon as they make that pledge, their inside gets defeated in an election or politics change. It's a struggle. The towns have to cooperate with each other and speak with a unified voice. And Curie Beach is not special. In fact, we're in a really good position because of our geography. A lot of people see hurricanes come, they see the beach washed away, but they don't see what happens next. A good example is what happened in Curie Beach after Hurricane Fran. We had a horrible, horrible erosion of our beach. It wiped out our steps down to the beach. It wiped out a large part of the dunes. So we got busy. And it also wiped out part of Atlantic Avenue. We rebuilt the street. We rebuilt the beach. And our steps, our new steps, there was 4 foot between the last step and the beach. So people would go down the steps and then have to jump onto the beach. In February, we had a 4-day nor'easter.
You're talking about this year?
No, I'm talking about after Fran.
After Fran.
After Fran, we had
so
a
So that 1997.
Yes. We had a 4-day nor'easter, and when it was through, those new steps that went down to the beach, you had to jump from the last step to the beach. Now the railings were covered in sand. So because of the way Curie Beach faces, we get a natural influx of sand from nor'easters. It still doesn't negate the need for having those funds to bring in sand when you need it, because we needed it right after those hurricanes. We didn't need to wait for a nor'easter, but we're in good shape because of nor'easters.
And so what does the formula need to be then, the funding formula?
I have no idea. No earthly idea. And anyone who thinks they have an idea, after they get through with their idea and put it down, someone's going to change it.
So then let's say that you are elected and you're faced with this as, you know, one of the biggest issues potentially facing a Curie Beach town council member. How do you go about figuring it out?
First of all, you've got to hit it at the federal level because that's where the majority of funding comes from. Curie Beach is already doing its part, and the other beach towns are doing their part to put aside funds. The state of North Carolina has slipped some in that regard, and we can work on some more state funding. But feds have got the big pocket of money, and they take it from us. And we should make the argument that we should get it back. And again, it's going to depend on our federal representation.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Our focus now is on Curie Beach. With us answering your questions is Jerry Dockery. He's seeking one of the 2 open seats on Curie Beach Town Council. You can ask him a question during the live Thursday edition by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Curie Beach spends a significant portion of its money from the room occupancy tax on advertising for the town. Do you think the advertising is effective, first of all?
I don't even think we need it.
So you would do away with that expenditure altogether?
I would cut it back significantly because we're not Myrtle Beach. They look at the Myrtle Beach model, in my opinion, and they think, well, we need to do more advertising. Well, our occupancy rates are high without or with advertising. I don't see any increase directly related to the advertising we do. I mean, it's nice that people know about Curie Beach, but it's also nice to be able to go down to the beach and find a spot to put your umbrella.
But isn't it also true that the tourist population is what sustains Curie Beach year-round, that bump you get?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, most of those tourists have been coming here for decades. And your advertising or your lack of advertising is going to change their habit. What changes their habits is what happened to us in 2008. In fact, that's why we started advertising. The economy went into the toilet, and the rest of the nation was having a recession. In Wilmington, in this surrounding area, we had a depression.
Why, Jerry Dockery, do you want to serve on town council? What do you think that you can do better than the other people who are running for those seats?
Well, aside from getting dogs on the beach, which was my main reason for getting into this. In fact, I got into this race because I was angry. I went to council and I talked to different people, and I got no support for changing the regulation on the dogs. Then I got to looking at some other things, and one of the things that town council did last year and even the year before, they started looking at building a new structure for the fire and police department. They sent out a questionnaire about that, and they reported the results of the questionnaire, and over 60% of the people were against it. And I thought, well, that's the end of it. I was wrong, and so were many residents of Curie Beach. You were wrong, folks. They're looking at raising your taxes by 14% to pay what was originally projected to be a $5 million project. Now it's $5.5 million. Any of you who are familiar with municipal programs and municipal construction, you know we're looking at $7 million. Now that's just to get this thing built.
And you're talking about the new fire station and the expansion of Town Hall.
Yes.
And there is an open house that's actually happening tonight so the public can come and see the plans for this.
Right. The current town council has made up their mind to do this. Now they're trying to sell it.
And you say in your bio that you're the only candidate who opposes this project.
The only one. In fact, it was interesting during our two debates that they're all in agreement on everything. I don't care whether you're talking about offshore drilling or golf carts or parking or anything else. They're all in agreement. In fact, one candidate's most common response was, I agree with Emily, meaning Emily Swearingen, our current mayor. Well, I don't agree with Emily. In fact, this project is Emily's sweetheart. In fact, that's another reason I decided to run, was because she was not going to run. As soon as I filed, she filed the next day.
So is it fair to say you have a feud going on with Emily Swearingen?
No, I supported Emily in her run for mayor. But I have a feud with anyone on town council who wants to spend this kind of money without putting it before the voters. And I thought the questionnaire was putting it before the voters. The voters spoke. The town council did not listen.
If you were elected, would you be able to stop the project at this point? I mean, what would you do? Has that ship sailed?
That ship has not sailed. They have paid for engineering studies. They paid for drawings. No one has signed any contracts or anything. But there'll be a loud noise in Curie Beach if I'm elected.
There was a forum that was notable. It was moderated by Cy Cantwell of the Star News and posted on the Island Gazette's website. This must have been one of those debates that you referred to earlier. And there was a question about following the example of Carolina Beach on a particular issue. That may have been parking. I'm not sure. But there was loud and prolonged laughter after one candidate said, it wasn't a good idea to follow Carolina Beach's example on any issue. Is there tension between the two towns, and what is that about?
It's not tension so much as hilarity and history.
Explain.
Town of Carolina Beach used to have a police station next to the marina. Their town manager decided it needed to be torn down once they got the new station built. He didn't go for any permits. He didn't get any permissions. He just figured he was town manager and he could do it. I don't think they've disclosed yet how much Carolina Beach had to pay in fines for his arrogance, let's put it. Now Carolina Beach is in another situation. It's very similar. They're dredging a lake and they didn't get the proper permission. So Curie Beach looks at Carolina Beach and they're like, no, we don't want to do that.
I see. But you would follow their dog policy.
I would follow their dog policy. I mean, every once in a while, they have a good idea. They aren't totally messed up. I've got a lot of friends. Dan Wilcox is a friend.
Okay. What about consolidating some of these beach towns? Is it necessary? Is there some redundancy going on here for taxpayers? Is it necessary to have these separate municipalities on Pleasure Island?
There's total redundancy. And the reason you have a Curie Beach and the reason Curie Beach and Carolina Beach auctioned off Hanby Beach and Wilmington Beach and split between the two towns is because there is a clear difference in what people want at Curie Beach and what people want at Carolina Beach. People at Carolina Beach want the Myrtle Beach type entertainment. The people in Curie Beach want to be left alone.
So let's fast forward 4 years. Let's say you won the election this year and you spend your first term on town council and you're looking back at the term. How has Curie Beach changed? What's different because of you?
Well, hopefully there'll be a lot of tails wagging on the beach early morning. And hopefully we will have found a way to use our available space in such a way that it works. I've been involved in a lot of projects at the University of South Carolina where we had to make things work because there just wasn't the money to build a new facility. There wasn't enough money to move a department from one building to another even. It can happen.
How would you describe the role of Curie Beach Town Council when you think about government? What should be the limits of what that town council does?
Well, I think the town council is there to look out for the interest of the citizens. And when you're talking about this much money being spent and you haven't put it to a referendum and you have put it to a vote in the form of a survey and the residents are against it and you move forward, you are not serving those citizens.
Have you taken a look at the long-range plan that Curie Beach is set to approve, I think this winter, posted on its website?
Yes, I have.
And do you agree with most of the respondents?
Most of the respondents are correct, but I'll caution that events have a way of changing realities. Anytime you've got a plan, remember the Soviet Union used to have five-year plans. Now Curie Beach has got a plan, and I put about as much credence in the viability of Curie Beach's five-year plan as I do the Soviet five-year plans. A lot of times you just have to wait and see what's happening.
And what about parking? That's been an issue for Curie Beach. Would you put restrictions on parking, institute pay parking? How would you deal with that?
Yes, and the debate over parking for me is laughable because I worked with the police department in Columbia, South Carolina, and they had a part of Columbia called Five Points, and they were having a parking situation down there. And what was happening was people were pulling into a parking space and just camping out there. So guess how they solved it? Not with millions, thousands, hundreds of thousands. They solved it with a stick with a piece of chalk on the end of it. And an officer walked around marking the tires. And if he walked around again and that same tire was in that position, they got a ticket.
Jerry Dockery, that's our time. Thank you so much for being with us today. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. When we come back from this break, we'll meet John Ellen, also running for a seat on Curie Beach Town Council. You can ask your own question on this Thursday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Our focus now is on Curie Beach, the smallest of the three beach towns in New Hanover County, located between Fort Fisher and Carolina Beach on Pleasure Island. Joining me now is John Ellen, who is running for one of the two open commissioner seats on Curie Beach Town Council. After graduating from NC State, John Ellen joined the Air Force and served for 26 years, predominantly, he says, in the intercontinental ballistic missile field. He served as a missile squadron commander, and after pioneering a personnel and resource reduction study, the commander of Strategic Air Command made him the first ever group commander in Strategic Air Command. Following his retirement from the Air Force, he joined a woman-owned engineering firm and continued to serve the Air Force as a consultant. He settled in Curie Beach 5 years ago and has served on the Planning and Zoning Commission for 4 years, the last two of which he served as chair. He is also the Curie Beach representative to the Wilmington Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, and he serves on Congressman David Rouser's Veterans Affairs Council. John Ellen, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And you can ask your own question of John Ellen by calling us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. John Ellen, in your campaign statement that you sent to us, you talk about the kind of local government you want to create. In your opinion, what's missing now? What could you do better that isn't being done?
We have good government in Curie Beach. The mayor has been active for 2 years, Ms. Swearingen. She has decided to step down, I think. Most people know.
Although she is running for a seat on town council.
And she is running for one of the council seats, and she was a council member before. As I say, we have good government. I want to be part of that good government, to take my turn with the other members that will be staying, of course, and then one of the other candidates that will be elected. So there will be two new persons on the council with a new mayor.
In your bio, you call out the gender of the engineering firm you joined after retiring from the Air Force, a woman-owned engineering firm. Why?
That's the way she made the, the announcement of her company. I've worked for a number of women over the years through the Air Force that have been senior to me. When I retired and was in the Pentagon another 20 years, I continued to work for the officers after I became a civilian. Worked for many women. Ms. Wilson was her name. She just advertised the company as a small woman-owned consulting firm. So.
Parking is a major issue in a place like Curie Beach, and of course, Curie Beach currently offers free parking. Would you ever support pay parking to deal with the crowding problem, and what are some other ways that Curie Beach might mitigate that issue?
I could support paid parking. I would maybe change the title a little bit and call it managed parking. Some folks talk about making paid parking down around the Curie Beach Pier area where there are designated slots. You have to do more than just put up parking meters. That will undoubtedly drive some people back into the neighborhoods because they won't want to pay for the parking. So we have to look at the parking issue in a bigger perspective than just, oh, let's make a few dollars, go put in some meters, and have, parking.
So what are some of the other options then? Would you limit tourists' ability to park on residential streets?
I think I would. The residents deserve their frontage of their home. Without being all day long, unless maybe they would charge also. we can look at things, more bike paths, more incentive to walk, whether or not there's some property that could have a small parking lot a few blocks from the downtown or the beach area, and then run golf carts between the parking lot and the activity areas of the community. We could promote more golf cart use by some of the residents. There's not very much you can do to the roadway.
How do you promote golf cart use?
Advertisement, just having some down there, maybe, as I say, using them to ferry pedestrians back and forth from a parking lot to the beach area. There are more and more golf carts in use today since my wife and I settled there 5 years ago. Curie Beach requires that a golf cart be street legal as opposed to some other areas along the...
Like neighboring Carolina Beach, which does not. And as we've discussed with some of the other candidates, that's a head-scratcher for both towns because tourists don't necessarily know where the line is or that regulations are changing when you're crossing that line. So if you win a seat on town council, how will you address some of those discrepancies in policy between the two beach towns?
Well, we can certainly meet, and they do have scheduled meetings between the two towns and discuss that. And I don't think Curie Beach would be willing, the people I know and the council members that I know, to change their policy to be less restrictive than street legal. Along with advertising and getting the education out there for the more total use of golf carts, which will lessen up some of the traffic. Being street legal means everything that you do in a car, you should be doing in a golf cart. For instance, you may see a street legal golf cart in Curie Beach with a child up in the front seat. Of a young age that's not in a child seat. So you're supposed to also comply with the laws of a car when you're using a golf cart.
For tourists unaware of those laws and for your basic scuff law, how should Curie Beach be doing more to enforce those regulations?
I think that if it's seen, it's enforced. I think that we have a wonderful police department in Curie Beach. Those guys and gals do a great job.
Curie Beach is scheduled to approve its long-range plan sometime this winter. And you, of course, have been part of the planning process. In a survey that was conducted to sort of feed the long-range plan, to inform it, the town said the variety of dining available in Curie Beach is just fair. That was the majority of respondents to this survey. And fair is the designation just above poor. Is it important to improve that ranking? And why or why not?
Well, food service is, you know, in a tourist area is certainly a big deal to a lot of folks. And if you're going to spend a week or more in our town, you probably don't want to eat at the same venue every night or lunch and dinner every day of your visit. So yes, it's important to provide the different types of restaurant capability to the people. We have a burger place. We have several nice dinner restaurants in the area. You can try to promote more business. There are other restaurants in Carolina Beach that the people use.
Do you think Curie Beach needs to make its downtown business district a little more robust, just kind of all the way around? Or would that impugn the character of Curie Beach?
No, I think we have the room and the wherewithal to increase our business capability, definitely.
And how would you do that?
Well, again, sitting on council or the Planning and Zoning Commission is a matter of advertisement, making it business friendly. We have a great set of residents in our town. We are small. There's not a lot of room to make new. You could have a particular venue sell out or be bought by somebody else that wants to change something. There is a small location along the strip there as you approach the pier that one of those stores, if you will, storefront, is on the market to sell. So I don't know who may come in there to put in some other type of business.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with John Ellen right now. He's seeking one of the two available seats on Curie Beach Town Council. You just have a few minutes left to get your own question in during the live Thursday discussion by calling 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. From that same survey conducted by Curie Beach, John Ellen, a majority of respondents said the growth of New Hanover County is a serious problem. How does Curie Beach need to plan for that?
Well, we have to think through what that's going to mean for our small town. There's only so much room, as I've said. Most of the property is residential. We have a few small motels there near the pier in the downtown district area. So you're certainly going to continue to get tourists. We are going to get what we call day trippers come down from the Wilmington area. We get them today. And certainly our summer months are much more frequented because of our draw to the beach and the fishing and the pleasantness, and you got to go through Curie Beach to get to the Fort Fisher Confederate Fort Recreation and to the aquarium. So we are, right there in the center of all that area for visiting people.
The town of Curie Beach is holding an open house tonight, October 26th, to show the public its facilities and make the case for the new fire station and the expansion of Town Hall, and all of that's estimated to cost around $5 million. Of course, during the time of that renovation and expansion, those facilities would be closed and those town functions would need to move elsewhere. One candidate, at least, is just dead set against this project. And he contends that a survey was done by Curie Beach and 60% of respondents said they did not want this expansion, but the town moved ahead anyway. Is that true? And where do you stand on this project?
Well, the town has moved ahead. The current council has voted to move ahead on the project. I support moving ahead. I think the impetus behind the open house is to show people that what we currently have is inadequate for the mission that those facilities are supposed to provide, fire, police, and the town hall administration of town business. So I do support what the council has put in place.
Matt from Curie Beach just called in, and he says there are no parking spaces near the four restaurants downtown or at the fishing pier. How would you regulate this when there are no spaces available?
I'm not sure what he's referring to, because Jack Max has a few parking spots right in front of it. So does Big Daddy's. There's parking beside the Quick Mart gas station. There's a huge lot right there. Across the street from Big Daddy's, there's parking. There's parking on the street as you proceed down to our major stoplight there on both north and south of that. So there is some parking there. Now, he may not be going at the time that that he can find an open spot.
That's a different thing then.
Right.
From,
but
right.
There is parking spots along where he is referring to.
Since the town's water comes from wells, are you concerned about the safety of the town's water supply in light of the unfolding story around Gen X and other potentially toxic chemical compounds?
From what I've learned from listening, reading, and talking to the current council members, I'm not certainly over-concerned about our problem. We do get water from deep wells rather than out of the river. That's the majority of the Gen X problem is river-related.
And that's this edition of Coastline. John Ellen, thank you so much for being with us today.
It was my pleasure.
Thanks also to Jerry Dockery and Kenny Rogers. Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Rachel Keith. Production assistant is Caitlin Hanrahan. And special thanks to Caroline DeVries, WHQR's webmaster. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org. Get the podcast or find it on the WHQR app. Tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 2. Join us for Coastline live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 and 98.9 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.